It's good to see everybody. How are you guys doing today? It's like 1,000 degrees outside already in May, but it's fantastic, isn't it? It's great insight, isn't it? Did y'all have a good time this morning worshiping?
Yeah.
Whew, can we give those guys a hand? They did a phenomenal job. And Melody, who is our worship leader, she actually had her baby. So if y'all didn't notice, she's been up here, she's pregnant. So not anymore, she's not pregnant. She's got a beautiful, wonderful little girl, another little girl, Lily Ann. And so normally when she's not here, we'll have Rustin, who also leads worship here. He'll be up here leading worship, but he's actually today at one of our family of churches, Church of the King in Katy, Texas. So he's leading there today. And so we had Sarah and Jiren lead, and they're normally background vocalists. They do lead songs occasionally, but didn't they do a fantastic job? Come on. And Jiren, who did the last song, he's 15 years old. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Just the call on that kid's life and pretty cool. And listen, we exist to reach people and to see their lives built on God's word and God's purpose and plan, and to execute that and to live that out. That is why we exist as a church. We exist to reach people and then to see them fulfill the calling of God on their life. And so today we're going to pray for some people that are taking a step, maybe a step I know for many of them they haven't done before, because Saturday we send a team of short-term missionaries to Haiti to be a part of working with Core Love, and so they leave Saturday, and so we prayed for a bunch of them at our first service, and so we want to pray for them at this service. Why don't y'all stand up if you're going? Not y'all, these guys right here. Thank y'all, though, for your participation. Here's what you can do. You can stretch out your hand towards them as we pray for them. Father, we just pray that you do a work both in these people and through them. Father, I just pray just blessing over them. God, I just pray your hand on them. Lord, that as they step out of their comfort zone and they step into the call that's on their life, even though it's just a short-term trip, that Father, that there's some long-term ramifications. There's some eternal impact that you make in them and through them. And so, Lord, we just pray just protection and peace and provision over them. Lord, we just pray that you use them in a tremendous manner, and may you bless them as they follow you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, can we give those folks a hand? You know, whether you're sitting in a pew or you're out doing mission work in Haiti, and then we have another trip in a few more weeks to Guatemala, the call is the same, and we're all called first to God, and then we're called to bring glory to him. But that's kind of like what does that mean? That means that our lives are to reflect him. And the reality is that all of us are called to be missionaries. And so these guys are going to Haiti, and we're praying for that mission trip at every service. But can I say, you can be a missionary right where you are, because we start next week God at the Movies. Come on, everybody say, God at the Movies. Thank you. Y'all look in the seat back in front of you. You see what this is? This is an invitation. I'm telling you, how many of y'all experienced God at the Movies before? Come on, raise your hand. Was it awesome?
Yes.
It's phenomenal. It's also the most impactful series that we have for people who have really never been to church to come and to something that's really cool, because we take movies and we turn them into modern day parables. In fact, next week we're gonna be doing Iron Man. And I mean, it's gonna be a big production, but the production isn't the purpose. The production is gonna be cool. I mean, we're taking Iron Man, taking clips from that. I'll be on the screen preaching from that, but there'll be popcorn, superheroes. It's going to be a lot of fun. But the point is that people encounter God. We saw more people make decisions to serve God than at any other time last year. And the thing is that we grew almost 300 people through God at the Movies. Isn't that crazy? So here's our heart, is that we reach people. And so here's what I'm going to ask of you. Invite somebody. Heck, if you want, and you'll find this on our app and on our website as well. We're going to be going door to door in this neighborhood on Saturday, this coming Saturday. As they're heading out to go to Haiti, we're taking a group of people. It's not Saturday, Friday. That's what I said, right? Friday. Thank you for jumping up and down literally and doing this. Friday. What time, Elizabeth? 5 o'clock in the morning. That's way too early. No. 5 p.m. I'm sorry. I thought it was Saturday, but what do I know? That's why they put stickies up here, just so y'all know. You see that? Haiti, God at the Movie, invite. Oh, and yeah, I'll get that at the end. Y'all ready to roll?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good Sunday. I'm wrapping up the series, The Living Word, because I want you to know that God's word is alive and powerful. In fact, that's our hallmark scripture is Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It's cutting between the soul, between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And let me just tell you that God's word, when he speaks to us, is unbelievably powerful. And never have I heard the audible voice of God, but God has very clearly spoken to me in the past. And honestly, like, God speaks to me on the regular. It's not like this weird thing where I'm driving along and there's a voice from heaven that says, Todd. But I know when God speaks to me because his word's alive and it is powerful and it's transformative. And my heart for you is that you recognize that God's word is powerful, but you don't just recognize it. You experience hearing God's word. And then you also recognize how powerful your words are. You know, today the topic is the words of life, and my heart for you is that you recognize that God's word has power, but so do our words. And when our words are partnered up with God's word, transformation takes place. In the areas where there's death, there's destruction, there's devastation, they can turn into life and hope and peace and a place for people to live and thrive as God intended them. And so I want us to recognize how important words are. But if we're going to recognize how important words are, we also need to recognize where they began. And so I want you to get your worship guide out, get your notes out, get the app. And here's the first thing that I want you to know, that all words begin as thoughts. All words begin as thoughts. And there's a progression in our life, because the fact of the matter is that everybody here has a God destiny in store for you. God's got a purpose and a plan for you, and he knows what it is. And the fact is that many Christians, they fail to get to that place. And I don't want that for anyone. I want us to understand that God has a destiny and that it is reachable. And all words begin as thoughts, but there's a progression of ideas. There's a progression of thought, because it begins with a thought, but what happens is it goes from thought, here's the next thing, it goes to word. Jesus says in Luke 6:45, and he says it again in Matthew 12:34, he says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if you want to know what's going on in your heart and your mind, all you have to do is monitor your words. But this isn't the end, because it begins with thought. That's why thought is so important in what we think on. Thought, it goes from thought to word, then to deed. Because what we think on will ultimately manifest as words. And what happens when we begin to speak things is we begin to act out on those things. It goes thought, word, deed. Then it goes from deed to habit. So if you do something long enough, it's going just to become a habit. From thought, word, deed, habit. And your habits will determine what your character is. And you see, this is where it's really important, because it's your character that will ultimately determine your destiny. My heart for you is that you recognize that we have some things we probably got to work on, and here's why. Because your inner dialogue matters. I want you to get this. It's so foundational. Your inner dialogue matters. Because the words that are in your mind will ultimately come out of your mouth, and they're going to form the way that you act, your deeds, and they'll turn into habits, and you may not even recognize it. And your habits will determine your character, and your character is going to determine your destiny. Your inner dialogue matters, and here's why. Because your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life will move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Let's go back to that thought diagram, though, that thought train. Can we go back to that? But this is why it's so important. It's like this is the first indicator of what's going on inside, because the reality is that, and I want you to get this because it's so true, that not all of your thoughts come from you. Do you know that? Like, not all of your thoughts, they're not necessarily from you, because the battlefield really is here. It's here, and the enemy can insert thoughts at any time. And so the tactic of the enemy is to insert crazy thoughts in your brain, to tweak out your feelings, to get you to say something stupid, to get you to do something stupid, to do it repeatedly so that it becomes a habit, so that your character is not the character of Christ, but it's the character of you. And I know me, when I'm left to myself, and there's a big red button right here, and on it, it says self-destruct. And if I'm left to my own devices, I invariably push that, and I do stupid things. I think stupid things. I say stupid things. I do stupid things. And the tactic of the enemy is to get you to where you're thinking stupid things, that you're saying stupid things, you're doing stupid things, it becomes a pattern in your life, it defines your character, and ultimately it'll bring you to a destiny that's not God's destiny for you. You guys follow me on this? Your inner dialogue matters because your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. But what's so important is that you recognize the first indicator of what's going on here will often be our mouth. Well, I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Maybe you didn't mean to say it, but can I tell you, it's an indicator of what's going on the inside, which is why Romans 8, 5, and 6, actually all of Romans 8, it's one of my favorite chapters, but in Romans 8, 5, and 6, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. What dominates your mind? What do you think on? What do you set your mind on? Colossians 3, 2 says, set your mind on things above. Why is that? Because if you want to see the God destiny fulfilled in your life, you're going to have to recognize that what you are dominated by will determine your destiny, and it begins in the mind. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Everybody here wants life and peace, but you have a choice to make. Because here's the thing. We may not be able to choose everything that enters our brain, but we can choose what we dwell on, and listen to me carefully, we can always choose what we say. In fact, every word that we speak is a choice. Think about that. And you're talking to a guy who said a lot, I mean a ridiculous amount of really stupid, hurtful, painful things. And it was, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that, and I didn't. Like the things that were coming out of my mouth were a surprise to me, and they were hurtful and mean and vindictive and ugly. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Because there were some heart issues, and I want you to get that if your words that are coming out and you're constantly having to go, I didn't mean that. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe there's some heart things, and maybe you need to check what you're dwelling on, what you're setting your mind on, because your words are an indicator, and let me tell you why they're so important is because they're powerful, and they will shape the world in which you live, and they will be the gateway to your actions, which is why 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. How do people wage war? Well, it's basically glorified fist fighting or slapping each other, pop, pop, pop. How do people wage war? How do countries wage war? What do? There's conflict that's unresolved. And so they in a physical and violent way, they fight. Well, let me just tell you that the war that we're engaged in is not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. And there's a battle that rages here. It's in our mind. And the enemy is there. And he will sow seeds. Can I just tell you, sometimes you need to give yourself some grace on what's going on in your brain because it's not from you. But the thing that you don't need to do is dwell on those things. In fact, this passage of scripture says, we're not human. We don't wage war as humans do. In verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. The strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. A stronghold, it's an old term, and it references literally a stronghold. And a stronghold historically was a military, it had a military function. It was a tower or a strong place that was built with big stones that were cut, and they would build this huge tower that was completely fortified that would give those who were running from destruction, it would be a place that they could be safe. This was a stronghold. You couldn't burn it because it was made of stone. They filled it with supplies, and if you had enough supplies, you could stay there indefinitely, and you also had an elevated position from which to destroy the enemy. So here's how the enemy works in our mind, though, and in our life, is that he builds strongholds in our mind and in our spirit to keep us from the destiny of God. And so my heart for you is that you recognize that there may very well be some strongholds in your life that keep you from the destiny that God has for you. You may say, yeah, but me and God seem to be doing all right. Like I know him, like I've given my life to him and I love him. But are you going to the destiny that God has for you? Because the tactic of the enemy is to set up a stronghold. And the stronghold may look something like this. Addiction, depression, self-loathing. Honestly, I had a revelation a few years ago of what a stronghold was, because this passage of scripture says we use God's weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Verse 5 says we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And we capture, man, I love this, we capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And the picture that I got was one of stones being laid to build a stronghold. And the strongholds of the enemy are lies. That's all they are. It's a lie. And in my mind's eye, I saw a stronghold being built, and one block was set every time a lie was believed by. It was in my mind. So every time I believed a lie, a brick was placed, a block was placed. And if you believe enough lies long enough, you build a stronghold that now the enemy lives in your mind. And as I saw the stronghold that was built, I also saw it destroyed. And the stronghold was destroyed when the light of truth and the light of God began to shine on that. And each of those blocks that had been painstakingly a lie believed, because lies are believed through pain, and usually to try and stop them. And this tower was built, but as the light began to shine, the light of truth and the light of God began to destroy that stronghold, which is why it says, verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle. Why is it pride? Let me just tell you why. Because for you to believe a lie of the enemy that says you're less, you're no good, you're not good enough, you're stupid, to believe a lie that something else aside from God is going to satisfy really is pride. It's not arrogance, but it's pride, because you believe this lie of the enemy more than you believe God and what he says about who you are. It's a proud obstacle, and it keeps people from knowing God. So here it is. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey God. How does this relate to words? Because what you think on will determine what you say, and what you say will determine what you do, and what you do will become a habit, and it'll mark your life, and it'll become your character, and it'll be your destiny. And I believe that you're here today because you want to have a God destiny in your life, and you want your thoughts to be the thoughts that God has for you, and your mind to be the mind of Christ. Am I right? All four of you. Come on. Is that right? Is that what you want? That's why you're here. And my passion for you is that you grow in your walk with God and that the strongholds of the enemy are destroyed. So what are we going to speak to the strongholds? What do you speak to the strongholds? So many people just want to speak death to the strongholds, but the reality is that we need to be speaking life. And so I want us to turn to Ezekiel 37. For some of you, maybe this is a new passage of scripture. For some of you, maybe you've heard it before. But the prophet Ezekiel was a pretty interesting guy. Just a little bit of background on before we get to Ezekiel 37 is the nation of Israel had really turned from God almost completely. And Ezekiel's ministry up till about chapter 33 or 34 was telling the people of Israel, hey, you've turned from God, you've turned to your own way, but there's destruction coming. You need to turn back to God. There's some bad things coming because you've just, basically, he's left you to your own devices. In fact, God spoke to him in some pretty crazy ways. One of the ways was he told him to make a little clay, kind of like a little Lego village of the whole city of Jerusalem with like siege ramps and little people all around it. And then to sit in the town square with this big clay block of this small model of Jerusalem with little soldiers and people on the walls and in the buildings. And to lay on his left side in front of this model for 490 days, and that he was to have all of his food prepared and cook it every day over dung. Isn't that lovely? Aren't y'all glad God doesn't speak to you today that way? And then after 490 days, because he was proclaiming that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed if people didn't turn to God, after the 490 days, God said, oh, you need to go on your right side now, and you need to lay down for 40 more days. So his ministry was pretty unique. And the call of God on his life to speak the truth, listen, if you don't turn from your ways, there's death and destruction coming. Please turn back to God. Because it was a pretty vile and wicked country at that point. And Jerusalem, basically, though it hadn't fallen militarily or politically, it had fallen spiritually. Can I just say that when a place or a people or even an individual begin to fall spiritually, eventually there's something in the natural that takes place where it falls as well. And we saw that in Israel. King Nebuchadnezzar came in from Babylon and destroyed Jerusalem and took many of the people back to Babylon, and there were just a handful of people that stayed, but Ezekiel was one that was left. In Ezekiel 37, we see the beginning of his ministry again, but it changed. It wasn't a prophecy of death and destruction. It was a prophecy of hope, and he began to speak on God's behalf. In Ezekiel 37:1, it says this. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor." You see this picture, don't you? So he's in a vision. He's in a dream. And Ezekiel is looking down. He's with the Lord, and he's looking on this valley full of all these dried out bones. They were scattered everywhere on the ground. They were completely dried out. And then, look at this. Look at verse 3. "Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?'" And so here's my question to you. Do you see areas where there's maybe a stronghold of the enemy? There's a lie that's believed, because the ultimate manifestation of a lie of the enemy is death. Do you see it? And God is taking him an overview of this valley full of dry bones. Then he takes him down among it, and he sees all of these dead, dried out bones. And God asks him, "Can they become living people again?" Now, that's a silly question. Most of us honestly would probably answer, "I don't know that I'd answer anything other than they're dead. How can they come back to life?" But look at the wisdom in Ezekiel. He says, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that." How are we to speak to the strongholds in our life? I really believe Ezekiel gives us a key. And here's the first thing. It's number one. I know we got a lot of blanks, but I'm going to go quick, so y'all going to have to write fast. To speak to the strongholds of death, number one, you need to see it from a different perspective. You need to see God from a different perspective. You need a God perspective on the areas of death in your life. Anybody here, y'all, you've ever had areas of death in your life? Come on, raise your hand. I would say most of us have at some point, whether it's financial death or relational death, or that there's a death of love and grace in your life. Maybe it's towards someone else. Maybe it's towards yourself. But we all have probably had areas of death in our life. We need to see those areas from a different perspective. Because the fact of the matter is that a stronghold is filled with the lies of the enemy and its bones and death and destruction, and it's all dried out. And God has a place of life for us, but it begins when we see those strongholds from a different perspective. What's that look like? What's the perspective how do we get that God perspective that allows us to see the potential of what can be when he's in control? Here's how. Four simple things. You've got to be near him. You've got to be near God. To get a different perspective, to get a God perspective on the areas of death and the strongholds of our life, we've got to be near him. The second thing is we've got to hear him. We've got to be close enough to be able to hear God when he speaks. We've got to believe him when he speaks, because you can get near God and you can hear God, but maybe you don't believe God. And then here's the fourth thing, that if you're going to get a God perspective, you've got to be near him, you've got to hear him, you've got to believe him, and here's the fourth one. You got to obey him. I mean, that's a lot. You got to be near him, hear him, believe him, obey him. So how do you do that? How do you get near him, hear him, believe him, and obey him? Another four simple things. Here's the first one. If you're going to be near God, hear from God, get to the place where you believe God and you can step out in obedience, you've got to get to the place of solitude. You got to get quiet. There's a big difference between solitude and isolation. Solitude is intentionally stepping aside so that you can get close to God. You need to get quiet and hear from him. The second thing is sincerity. You've got to get to the place where you're real. Where you're real, where you can go, "God, maybe you're angry, maybe you're bitter about some areas of death in your life. Maybe it's been a physical death and you don't understand what happened. Maybe there's something going on that you're believing a lie of the enemy and you're seeing death and you're angry." Some people are even angry at God. And I can understand that. I get it. But you've got to get to the place where you're getting quiet. You're getting alone with him, getting near him so you can hear him. You got to get to the place of sincerity where you're real. The third is you got to get to the place where you're seeking him in scripture. Solitude, sincerity, scripture. Let me just tell you, when you begin to read God's word, my prayer is that you understand it, and that you allow God to speak to you. Because the fact of the matter is that you can flop it and drop it and get nothing from it. Look at this one. I just flopped and dropped. Last week I flopped and dropped, and it was an obscure scripture, and someone came up to me afterwards and like, that's the very script, and it was a very obscure scripture. That's the very scripture that God gave me about a situation that's going on that impacts all these people, and it was a lot of people. It's kind of freaky. Let me remind you that God's word is alive. And this flop and drop says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Maybe somebody in here, your stronghold is unforgiveness. And you're believing a lie that person knew exactly what they were doing. And maybe they did, but they don't always see the long-term ramifications, which is why the creator of the universe hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as they were crucifying him, laughing at him. Maybe the stronghold's unforgiveness. How do you get to the place where you can get a different perspective on that? Get near God, get quiet, get real. Scripture gets you ready. Maybe you read it and you don't get anything out of it. But when you continue to draw near to God, when you continue to open up your heart and say, Lord, this is what's going on, and you're real with God, and maybe you should be real with some other people as well. God's word will become alive to you. And here's the fourth thing. You gotta start speaking it. You gotta get going. You gotta get quiet. You gotta get real. You gotta get ready, but you gotta get going. And my heart for you is that you recognize that there's a God destiny on your life, but you need a God perspective to see the areas that might be keeping you from that God destiny. It's the first thing. You gotta get a God perspective. Get near him. You gotta hear him. You gotta believe him. And you gotta step out. Man, you gotta find some time where you can get quiet. You gotta be transparent enough and open enough to open up those areas of hurt and get real. You're gonna have to get ready. If you gotta be preparing for that God destiny, and you do that by seeking him and getting in his word. And then when you begin to speak, that you speak God's truth because you know that it is, even though you may be in the middle of pain, things begin to transpire. What do you do with the strongholds? See them from God's perspective. The second thing, speak from a place of security. In other words, you know that what you're speaking is truth. You know how many Christians fake it? God's for me, and they say it. They say it, but they don't necessarily believe it. Like they're trying to cajole themselves, convince themselves that, yep, God really is for me, but there's some deep-seated unforgiveness towards God because there was some hurt at somebody else's hand or a situation they didn't think worked out like it was supposed to with God. You've got to speak from a place of security. You got to speak from a place of confidence, knowing that what God has called you to say, what God has put in your heart and in your mind, what you are speaking is his truth. And it's not something that's conjured. It's not something that's fake. Let me tell you, God's word to you is not a spell. This is not a book of magic that it doesn't. You say the right thing 3 times and it magically happens. God's word is true. And he does have a purpose and destiny for us. But you can't fake that. You can try it, and a lot of people do. They try to manipulate their words in such a way that those words have power. But I'll go back to last week's message. Meaning, intention, and direction. Every word. You can be mute, and you can still communicate meaning, intention, and direction. And when we understand the meaning of God's word and the intention of it, and we direct it to the stronghold, this is what happens. That stronghold begins to break because we're operating in the confidence that God has given us as we take his word, we make it his, it's his, and we're making it ours as well, and we're seeing the lie of the enemy and we're speaking truth to it. Do you know what spiritual growth is? You should write this down if you don't. Spiritual growth is the process of replacing lies with the truth. And when you know God's word and you speak with confidence God's word, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. And there's a situation that terrifies you. Maybe it's you feel like you're about to be destitute, like you're a paycheck away from being on the street. And you begin to speak God's word, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. And it's not just trying to conjure up God's presence, but you know that it's true and that he's with you. And the lie of the enemy that God's forgotten about you, that God's abandoned you, that block in the foundation stone of that tower, that stronghold of the enemy, when you get the truth and you speak it out, it begins to break down. My heart is that you can speak confidently. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. How do you get confidence? You got to see it from God's perspective, and you get God's perspective by being near him, by hearing from him, by believing him, and then by stepping it out. And part of that is speaking it out. Look at what Ezekiel did. It says, remember, God's saying, hey, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you tell me. Then he says to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones. God's saying, speak a prophetic message. Everybody say, speak a prophetic message. Come on. There are times when we hear from God and he's saying, this is what you need to say to the areas of death in our life. And he tells him, say to these bones, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm gonna put breath in you and I'm gonna make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you. I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath on you and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. So God says, prophesy that these bones are gonna come to life and they're gonna breathe. They're gonna live again. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, man, these words are the most powerful words in this passage of scripture. Everybody say it with me. You ready? So I spoke. Y'all got to do better than that. Come on. So I spoke. He spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley, and the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as completed skeletons. He spoke in confidence. And what happened? What's it say? The bones came together, they attached themselves as completed skeletons. Then look at verse 8. Now I want you to get this because it's key and it's our final point as well. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies. Look at this. But they still had no breath in them. How disappointed do you think Ezekiel was at that point? He trusted God. God told him very clearly, speak and they're going to come to life. And everything but life happened. Everything God said, but the biggest thing. Now they're just a bunch of, it's not dry bones anymore. Now they're bodies, but they're dead bodies. Do you see that? He did exactly what God told him to do. Remember, speak a prophetic message and say that they're gonna come to life. And he does exactly what God tells him to do. And instead of skeletons, he just has dead bodies. Do you think that's discouraging? I think so. Let me just tell you that God is a God of process. He's a God of supernatural, miraculous, pow, and things can happen, but he's also a God of process. And it can be supremely discouraging to see someone where God moves in their life like they don't even say anything. They're like, God just shows up. Have y'all seen that before? Have y'all? Yeah, I have. Like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Wow, supernaturally healed. Yeah, I've actually seen that. And then there's people that have to walk everything out. You need, in the middle of the death, you need to see God's perspective. Then you need to speak from a place of security, knowing God's word's secure, and speak with confidence. Here's the final thing, it's the third thing, and I need you to get this, it's so key. You need to stop doubting the end result. Stop doubting the end result. Stop doubting the end result. I put in my notes, stop stopping when you don't see the results that you want. So many people, they say, I tried it. God, I did it. Like, I did exactly what you said. I went to church every week. I read my Bible. I believe you. And I stepped out. There was this thing I was praying for. It just didn't happen. I did everything you said. And like, it looked like it was gonna, but it just didn't. And they stopped because they didn't see the results that they wanted. That's painful. And that's hard. And it makes sense to stop in a worldly mindset, but let me just remind you of something. God is outside of time. And so often, we, as humans who live within the constraints of time, we say, I did this, 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 and this, and therefore it should be this. But with God, sometimes that formula doesn't work because he's outside of time. Do you know what outside of time is? It's eternity. We label eternity as forever. But the fact of the matter that eternity really is just outside of time. So we say, God, I sought you. I drew near to you, and you did draw near to me. God, I heard from you. God, I believed you, and I obeyed you, and I saw some stuff change, but there's still death. It's still there. Now it's just a prettier version of the same thing. If Ezekiel would have just stopped right there, that valley of dried out bones that was dead as could be was still dead, and it would have stunk probably even more as those flesh began to rot. But listen to me carefully. God wasn't done. God wasn't done. God spoke again and says in verse 9, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. That seems insane. It seems crazy. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. Verse 10, what's it say right here? So I spoke. Sometimes you gotta go back to move forward. You gotta go back to move forward. Look at what happens. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and the breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great army. It goes on, we're not gonna read on, but it goes on, God speaks to him and says, I'm gonna raise you to life. I'm gonna raise the whole nation to life. But it never would have happened if he had not gone back and spoken a second time. Sometimes you gotta go backwards to go forwards. Sometimes you gotta repeat what you've already done to get the results that you don't have yet. It's the shampoo principle. It really is. I'm telling you, it's the shampoo. You didn't know shampoo was spiritual. And I don't know why, but I read labels for some reason. And you know the directions? There's some directions on the shampoo bottle. Did you know that? Some of y'all do. Some of you, like the shampoo police, are going to come knocking on your shower door. And like, you're doing it wrong. Because when you shampoo your hair, it's very clear. It says, lather, rinse, repeat. Some people, they need to stop stopping when they don't see the results that they get, and they wonder why they're still greasy and dirty. And maybe it's because God's calling them to speak again the message that he commanded. Here's the point. Stop giving up. Stop giving up. God is outside of time, and what may be 20 or 30 or 40 years for us is a nanosecond to God, because eternity is not forever. Eternity is outside of time, and that's where God is. Don't get discouraged because things aren't happening like you thought they should and like you felt God told you that they would. You need to trust God. You need to go back and repeat the whole process. Draw near to him. Hear him. Believe him. And speak it out. Listen, and sometimes somebody will speak to you what God wants for you. Maybe that's me today, and it's a privilege and honor. Can I tell you, I had the experience today, this week of that happening to me. I've had shoulder problems, and so I went to a doctor that's going to put needles in my shoulder. They call it dry needling. They put needles all in the joint and in your shoulder, and it's about as painful as it sounds. They put them all the way into the bone. It's lovely. And so I'm going to this doctor because it works. And so I'm going to this doctor to get my shoulders done, because it's actually working phenomenally. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I go into the room, the exam room with the doctor, and we're about to start the needling. And so I take my shirt off, and he looks at me and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. No, not really. He goes, whoa. But it's not for what you might think or not think. About 8 days prior, I'd been weed eating at my house, which is along some woods. And the next day when I woke up, I had this horrendous, huge, crazy looking bite. and it kind of itched, and there were some little welts, and it was, but it had this big ring thing around it, and it was wild looking. I was like, man, what bit me? I have no idea. I didn't give it any mind because it just itched a little bit, and I'd scratch it, but I didn't worry about it at all. And then 8 days later, I sit in a doctor's office with my shirt off, and he goes, whoa, man, what is that? It's like, I got bit. And he says, what bit you, man? You think that might have been a tick? It looks like a Lyme disease bite. I'm like, what? And I whipped out my phone, like, Lyme disease bites. And it had gotten way, when he saw it, it was almost gone. It was fading away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was a Lyme disease bite. And I'm okay. I'm not going to die. It's not like I'm like, oh, right now, because we caught it early enough. I'm taking doxycycline, taking the medication. I'm going to be fine. But had I not gotten to the place where someone could speak life to me when I was vulnerable, it could have been life-altering. Today, God's speaking to you. I just really believe what Jairon said, that maybe there's some people here that you just kind of given up. God's speaking to you. Maybe I get to be like that doctor was for me, words of life. What do you think I did after he pointed that out and I realized what it was? What do you think I did? Man, I hugged that guy and hugged him. Thank you so much. Texting him, you have saved my life from a lot of pain. Thank you so much. Some of you, you can be that to others. And some of you need that for yourself. You need to speak to the areas of death, the strongholds. But it begins with you getting a God perspective and then getting God's word to be truth for you. Speaking it out. Maybe some of you need to speak it another time. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you know that this message was for you and you're going, Pastor, I need a God perspective because I feel like he's a million miles away. Let me just tell you that today he is wanting to introduce himself to you. Maybe you can sense it. He's knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, open your heart to me. Maybe you're far from God and you've never really had a God perspective on anything. Maybe you've thought it foolishness, but I'm telling you, God is alive, so is his word. God is powerful, so is his word. And today he's speaking to you and he's calling out to you and he's drawing you to him. Maybe that's you today. I want to give you the opportunity right where you are just to open the door of your heart to him. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I just want to give you an opportunity, then just right where you are, I just want to pray for you. Nobody's looking around and say, Pastor, I know this message was for me. I need to open my heart. I need that God perspective in my life. That's you, just raise your hand. Man, so many people. You can put them down. And my prayer for you is that you draw near to God. Get quiet, get real. Get ready. As you step out, he'll get you going. Can we just pray together, just all of us? Let's just say, dear God, I choose you. I turn from my ways. I turn from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody looking around. We're still just in an attitude of prayer. I just really feel like some of you here that you've given up on God, but you see the lies. You see the strongholds. I just want to pray for you. Is that anybody? I just really feel like there's somebody like, I've given up on God, but I see the lie, but I just don't even care anymore. I just really sense, and I don't always do this, but I just really sense there's somebody here, you feel like you've given up on God because you've counted him as a liar. And I'm not saying that condemningly, but that's kind of what you've thought in your heart of hearts, nobody looking around. But if you're here I don't even have to acknowledge you, but I just want to pray for you. That's you. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see y'all. Father, I just pray right now for those that raise their hand with that prayer. That, Lord, that there's a revelation. That, Lord, that the lie of the enemy that they see and they hate, that, Lord, that you let them see Your promise is not over and done. And Lord, it's not too far gone. This really feel like word is for someone. I'd written this in my notes. It's not too far gone. Let's pray blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can look up here. What a great Sunday. I love y'all. I love being your pastor. And let me just remind you, every the end of every service, our ministry team is up here. If you need prayer, don't walk out of here without praying with somebody. Maybe they can be that voice to you that goes, whoa, I think I got an answer for that. And it's a God one. Love y'all. The best is yet to come. Pastor Josh.